Hi, welcome to Allergy Dragon's Lair. I'm your host, Martha Morgan. I happen to be a special adept and allergy chef, a survivor or warrior with celiac disease, multiple food allergies, but my biggest claim to fame is raising a child successfully with over 30 food allergies and celiac disease as well. And I know I always say this, I can't wait for this guest. I really am genuinely excited to talk to every single one of my guests I have here. But before we jump into this episode, let me do our short disclaimer. The views expressed here on our show are the personal opinions and life experiences of ours and our guests. We are not healthcare providers or doctors. Please seek advice from your healthcare professionals for any diagnoses or changes to your healthcare plans. Okay, so like I just said, I'm getting ready to introduce my awesome guest. I really honestly have just got to really engage with her on social media recently. We were introduced, had a very long conversation, your instant connection over the phone. So a fellow celiac allergy mother. I mean, like, there's too much to like put into this intro for her. So I'm gonna let her do all of that herself. And I'm getting ready to call her the wrong name, and she knows it's not, but I can tell you, like, Mother Eats Proper is her website. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself before I butcher your name again?
Oh, thank you, Martha. So my name is Kaylee Elwell, and I am the owner of Mother Eats Proper. I've had a gluten intolerance for about 20 years now, and I'm raising a daughter with over 10 extensive and severe food allergies. I'm very excited to chat with you today and connect with your audience.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I know we've had a couple of things going on. You're first and foremost an allergy mom. So, I know that there is a little one not feeling great. So if you have to get pulled away, that it is what it is. Totally understand. And I think most of my audience being 90% females with children, I think they kind of understand too. So, So we're going to try and make this a little quick, but believe me, it's a very cool conversation, I think, that we're going to have today. So stick around, listen. And so Mother Eats Proper, I know you have that going on. Can't you kind of explain to us what that is and what's your why is what I like to ask people, because I like to like really talk to rad people or the people I think that are very cool in this space and are trying to do awesome things in this space.
So let's see, what's my why? My why is all about shifting the narrative around being a parent with food allergies. My whole life I've been surrounded by people with food allergies. My mom, my brother, myself, my cousin, my aunt, like it's definitely people in my friend group. I think food allergies have always just been very present in my life. And it really didn't come as clearly or as powerfully as it did with my daughter. And I can go into my whole story in a little bit, but essentially, this whole idea of shifting the narrative around food is largely with what we went through. I've been around food also my entire life, being in the hospitality industry. And food is, like many people, the epicenter of my life. I love food. I love the connection over food. I love the flavors of food. I love all the chemistry and the possibilities around food. So when I had a daughter who had extensive food allergies, I got really frustrated with the lack of support and the lack of community and the lack of products out there that would help serve her. I really, began to see how much she was copying me and fed into my frustration and my energy there. And I didn't want that for her. I didn't want her to be frustrated with food. I didn't want her to be scared of food. I wanted her to go out into the world and enjoy hospitality the same way, if not more than I do. And so I really had to shift the narrative first within myself and then within our household and our ecosystem around what food is now in our lives with all of her obstacles. Because it's one thing to be, just gluten-free and dairy-free, which is hard in of itself, but then adding in all of these proteins, all of these different nutrients and resources, it just became very overwhelming. So I started getting her involved with the cooking process, and I started getting her to come with me to the grocery store and have her pick out and feel and touch and smell all of the produce or any of the things that we were picking out. And I watched her over and over again flip things around at like 2, 3, 4 years old, flip packaging around and starting to like pretend to read the label like I do. And I knew that I had to just totally shift all of this. So got her more involved, became more positive around food, started to fall in love with experimenting in the kitchen again and you know, figuring out recipes that tasted good that the whole family, you know, could enjoy. And that's when I realized how much fear is within this community, right? We just learned about Orla and how she passed away after eating the cookies from Stu Leonard's. And I mean, we've gone through somewhat of a similar situation with packaging being mislabeled, where my daughter could have died and she ended up in the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
Because people didn't label peanut butter. So, and I think there's so, like, everything just seems so fear-based, especially on social media. So I saw this opportunity, this gap in the market, if you will, of shifting that narrative within food brands and hospitality experiences and chefs and, you know, all of the wonderful people that make these experiences and these food available to us. And I saw that they were really missing out on the most loyal demographic that I know, which is the food allergy community. Because once we find something that we love an experience, we love people, we love the taste of whatever it is, we'll go back again and again and again.
Mm-hmm. Because we know it's safe.
100%. It's safe. It's stable. People are aware. They're educated. They're also advocating for us. We feel seen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, one, the food allergy community deserves more of these places, or they in the very least deserve to have resources available to them where they know of these places, even if it's not within their direct, you know, location community, but if they're traveling also. So that is what Mother Eats Proper is really founded on, is really creating these craveable narratives for that food allergy space. So it's PR, it's marketing, it's brand collaborations, it's affiliate marketing, all around food brands and hospitality experiences for this niche.
Definitely. I agree with you. I think it's definitely underrepresented and underutilized in the aspect that you're going for, which is more positive based, because there is so much fear. And I think the reason we do that in this space is because we want to be taken seriously. And sometimes we feel like shock value is the only way to get through to them. And I feel like that. I mean, because sometimes I would have that issue, you know, training my own people in, you know, just for safe handling sometimes when somebody was taking something less serious. And one of my things I used to tell people all the time when I'd be training would be like, okay, so I have celiac disease and I have a garlic allergy. We would kind of go off of the wall with some of the allergens. I mean, all allergens are serious. Or even if they have a wheat allergy and they order the salad with the croutons, without the croutons, but then it comes delivered with the croutons. What do you do? I would ask my servers, what do? Before we even start any type of, I want to know like the basis, what do they kind of know what they should do? Do they, you know, have an inkling? And the people that would say, and unfortunately it would usually be at least half of them would say, well, I'm going to go take it back to the kitchen and I'll just take the croutons off, which is wrong for so many different levels, but we will not get into that.
Yeah.
But just for the fact of the matter, so I would, you know, I would go through the whole proper way of how we should do that, why we should do that. And I would say, does anybody understand why we should do it this way? You know, and some people would be like, I still don't understand what's the big deal. And I would say, okay, so let me put it this way to you. If I give you a salad with arsenic on it, and you tell me I can't eat that, it's poison, it's going to kill me, and I go back there and I just brush it off, are you going to, and I bring it back to you, are you going to eat the salad? And so
that's a really good way of looking at it.
Yeah. So I feel like we do have so much fear, and it's like how much too much, there's too much fear. But then it's also almost like you don't want to give them too much positivity, because then it's like, so you have to find that balance. And I think that that's really awesome what you're doing with trying to kind of meld that, the seriousness of it. Just, it should be taken just as serious as any type of foodborne illness, really.
Yeah. And I think there's a way of communicating with each other too, that is more inclusive and respectful, but also immersive of the brand. I just noticed that when I talk to hospitality professionals about being more inclusive, or what their food allergy program is, or how others can take part in their food allergy program, whatever it is, I just find so much distrust from the food allergy community, because I know that there are a lot of people out there that say like, oh, I can't do dairy, but they're not really dairy free, but maybe they're just trying the allergy out, or but it still creates this level of heightened sensitivity and anxiety within the hospitality side. So then they're doing everything they can to not have dairy in whatever dish the guest has ordered, but then they're trying their like partner's chowder or something like that. And it just creates that distrust. And I know that it makes it even more tough around the actual food allergy community, because when someone like you or I go and we dine with our child and we are being serious about it, we want them to take it seriously each and every time and not get frustrated or annoyed with people who aren't as serious about it. If
Yeah,
that any of that makes sense.
it's to me, totally it does. Yes.
Yeah, so I feel like, side A, hospitality has this certain view and perspective of the food allergy community, side B, and side B has a different view of what actually is going on the hospitality side. And there's definitely this disconnect, and there's definitely a bridge that needs to be created, which is why I'm creating my documentary. And I really saw this, I'm straddling two lines, basically. One being a parent to a child with extensive and severe food allergies, and not being under, I don't know, being undereducated about. And then the other side, hospitality, and like really truly understanding how some people in the hospitality really truly care. And I think it's an entirely different conversation to be had at another time about this disconnect that the hospitality industry has had since COVID with getting good, true hospitality professionals into their establishments and keeping those upstanding brand standards and those upstanding respectfulness within the hospitality community. But again, that's a whole other tangent aside. I don't know how many different ways of saying it, but the documentary is essentially for families with food allergies being educated and to show their loved ones and be like, see, this is what a food allergy is. This is what I go through as a parent. And then it's the food brands and hospitality experiences that impact these families' lives. So it is, and then of course they have medical experts that are fantastic that everyone in the food allergy community is very aware of. And these food allergy experts and allergists and scientists and researchers, doctors, they're all explaining what is happening to a kid's body, what is happening to our body and why, but connecting it also back to the hospitality industry, right? And like the hospitality industry explaining why they do care, but they also don't. It's not a high priority, as high of a priority as it really honestly should be. And I really wanted to create a narrative that did shift from fear and isolation to safety and inclusion by showing families that there are food brands that care, there are chefs that care, there are medical experts that care. One of my biggest frustrations as a parent to a child with food allergies is the lack of medical access, right? Like, I am not made of money. I am an average parent. And as far as like resources go, and being able to get, any kind of specialty care for my kid, it's really difficult. Especially with like state insurance and that kind of stuff, no matter where you live, I think I really just truly wish that these families had more medical resources, right? They had more opportunity to go and ask their questions and get their questions actually answered in a way that they understand and can incorporate back into their lives. And I think a lot of medical experts and a lot of medical appointments can lead to a lot of fear and isolation with simply just not being able to have a proper conversation around or knowing the right questions to ask, I should say.
Or even having enough time, like you said, to have a conversation, because another thing for another time, I guess, is how much time you get to actually spend with your doctor sometimes is minimal, depending on that person. So, yeah, I think the conversations both sides, and I think what you're trying to do with the documentary and bring so many different sides together is definitely a unique perspective that nobody's really put together, because they need to work together as a whole.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope it does bridge that gap for sure.
Yeah, and being somebody from the food service industry as well, it is possible to bridge those gaps. And there are amazing people out there that are trying to bridge it. But then you also have money men. And like I said, it goes into a whole different follow ask, another conversation for another day. But like I said, hopefully we get that the documentary up and going and that kind of, or you get the documentary up and going. We're going to say we as a community, we need the documentary. So what are your plans for the documentary? Like, when is it going to start?
Yep, we filmed our trailer. We're currently editing it and fundraising for the rest of the film. As soon as the trailer is good to be shown to the public, then I'm going to have everybody post it everywhere that I can and really push for community fundraising at the moment. And we are, I can't say which yet, but we are working with a nonprofit, hopefully. For, just for more opportunities with the documentary. But I'm hoping to have the documentary all good to go by the end of this year, beginning of next year.
Awesome. Awesome. I think we had talked, a while back beforehand, going back to being an allergy mom. How long did it take for your, to get, I know, because it was like kind of dramatic, like all the things that she's allergic to, there's quite a bit of it. And like it took a lot of, testing and different things like that. So I think your journey was kind of, I know I got like the short bit of it last time we spoke.
So basically, my daughter, we found out that she had food allergies not until she was 2 years for sure, but we started testing her around 8 months. And it took us from 1 month to 8 months to figure out what was actually going on. So for 8 whole months, it was just super difficult with, her really bad eczema and being so scared to feed her anything. But by the time she was, 8 months, we got that first allergy test. Figured out that she was allergic to basically proteins and kind of just started navigating things from there. But I did for a while suspect that she might have some kind of zinc allergy, which is apparently very rare and very unheard of or just not talked about. But all of her food allergies, because they were some, they're all protein based, but I mean, it's like chicken, beef, peas, lentils, like tree nuts, peanuts, eggs, soy, dairy, all of it. I just looked at, tried to find a commonality between all of them aside from being proteins, and they're all very high in zinc. So, and I know too, when she was a baby, trying to the zinc oxide on her diaper rash would make her bleed. Like it, she'd always get it. We would try it every so often just to see, and every single time she would just get so hurt by it. So. I think parents have this really special intuition with their kids, right? And we know something's wrong before anyone else knows there's something wrong. And I really just urge parents to lean in and listen to that voice more. Go, if you have a question, go and ask it always, especially to, your do the doctors in your life, or reach out to the community and other moms and see what they've gone through. But I just felt like there was more to her food allergy. So now we're going to be taking her to Boston, I believe, Mass General, and gonna just test her a little bit further with things. But I'm also not on the side of putting her through any drug trials or any food challenges or anything like that. I'm very much holistic in the sense that this is what her body chose, and we are just going to navigate around the obstacles the best we can, the happiest we can, the most flavorful we can. And it's been going well so far. I mean, she's 5 now. She's been carrying an EpiPen for almost a year by herself. And I just think that if we talk better around food and body image and food safety, kids are going to follow. And they're going to navigate that with you. And so just having open conversations with your kids too, I feel like can really help your insight into what they're going through also.
I do agree with that, and I'm always like, yeah. And if you can't be the person to talk to them, then at least get a third party in and have a therapist. So that's what we ended up having to do, because as positive as I ever always tried to make it be. Because I did very similar things. Obviously, being a chef, had the kids in the, I had Vesper in the kitchen with me and that kind of thing. And there's still a level of fear that I guess they absorb from us sometimes. And it's sometimes it's nice to have another person for them to talk to. So, and for you too, usually as a family therapist, I always recommend that. But yeah, I just remember when we spoke on the phone, I just thought that that was so interesting because sometimes those topical allergens and things like that that are going on with the body. And like you said, you know that there's something else wrong and you kind of keep, you know, finding it.
Yeah.
Is there anything specific or anything else that you want to go over beforehand?
I'm trying to really build this platform for this shifting of this narrative in the food allergy space from, you know, fear and isolation to safety and inclusion through education and advocacy. And I would love for the community to reach out to me as much as they would like to, as far as speaking opportunities goes. And I'm more than happy to always share my daughter's story. I'm always happy to be an advocate of this community. So definitely looking to connect with more and more people in it, hopefully.
Okay, so you have got so many cool things going on. This is pretty much, like I said, like the future with the documentary. Definitely a want to see people kind of reach out to you more, spread this around. I'm sure people have seen where I've shared all my stories and things like that as well. But before we end this episode, I always ask if there's any closing thought or anything specific that you would like to leave us with?
The documentary is called How Do We Make It Better? I firmly believe in asking that question every day with every situation. So, you know, navigating food allergies within my life and talking to other people and how they've approached things has been a commonality. So the documentary is called How Do We Make It Better? My business, my agency is called Mother Eats Proper. And I just leave parents with trust your gut. Always. Your microbiome doesn't lie and your intuition doesn't lie. So always, always, always just trust your gut.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to tell us about everything that you got going on. I definitely would love to have you back on to have a more deep dive conversation about, you know, food industry, how we can bridge that gap. She already said how you can get a hold of her, but I will have links posted down below if you're watching on YouTube. Make sure you're checking out the podcast on all the other platforms, review, share, you know, all that good stuff. Check out how we can make it better, literally all of us on board. I think we can definitely make it better. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to y'all next time. Bye.
Bye.